Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
My friends, may speak to the name of the one holy and living God. Amen.
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 Well, my friends, it is good to be with you on the second Sunday of Easter. And it's been a week for us since Easter. And by the end of today's gospel narrative, we hear it's been a week since Easter. It's been a week since Mary Magdalene and the other women came to the tomb to anoint Jesus. It's been a week since Mary Magdalene mistook Jesus for the gardener. It's been a week since Peter and the beloved disciple ran to the tomb huffing and puffing and exacerbated by the journey. And it's been a week for us since our own celebration of the resurrection. It's been a week since we had this fantastic Easter car parade with the Easter bunny in tow and eggs for all of our young children. It's been a week since we shared in communion together for the first time in over a month. It's been a week since we exuberantly proclaimed throughout the town and over Zoom and with friends and family that "Alleluia, Christ is risen, the Lord is risen, indeed, alleluia." It's been a week. And I gotta say that Easter and Holy Week were different than I had imagined they would be for this year. And although by the end of Easter Sunday, by the end of services around 11:15, 11:30, y'all, I gotta say, I felt good. Even though we were worshiping together virtually, I felt like we together proclaimed the resurrection of our Lord. I felt like we gathered together in community to the best of our human capabilities. And I had this Holy Week high, so to speak, by the end of it. And I had fun afterwards. I somehow found this energy to shrink wrap eggs and decorate and to cook an Easter meal and all of this great stuff. And I feel like a lot of that I got energy from you and from our God that is flowing, the love that is flowing in between us. But by Monday morning, I gotta say, I was experiencing relief, so to speak. Because there's a joke amongst clergy that Jesus is risen, but the clergy are dead. And that's, I would say that speaks true for most of my friends in this ministry. And so I would say Monday and Tuesday, I felt like relief. I felt this calm and I felt the opportunity to take a deep breath, to slow down, to recenter myself, and to be for a moment. But after I came off that time of rest and relaxation, starting around Wednesday, Thursday, my feeling shifted again. All of a sudden, I was starting to feel some trepidation. I was starting to feel some doubt. I was starting to feel some despair. I found myself looking at the news more again. I found myself realizing that, yes, Christ is risen, but we're still in quarantine. I found that I went on this emotional roller coaster as the week progressed. And I went from this place of fully embracing Easter hope and joy on Sunday into feeling like I was in the darkness of Good Friday and Holy Saturday again. And it's strange to be in that space. And my friends, the disciples in today's gospel, they are also in that space. They themselves are in the midst of despair, doubt, and trepidation. They have literally locked themselves away from the world in an upper room because they are so fearful and so anxious of what is out there. They have segregated themselves from the rest of their society. And I wonder why this is, because I can imagine this reading today comes immediately after our resurrection narrative on Easter Sunday. And y'all, if we remember, Peter and the beloved disciple and Mary Magdalene and the other women were so ready to proclaim the Lord's resurrection that they ran back on home. So the disciples probably, who are in this upper room, they probably would have heard that Jesus was risen. They probably would have already had the good news shared with them by these few devoted disciples. And yet, maybe what immediately was Easter hope and joy and resurrection glory has quickly transitioned into fear and anxiety and a sense of hopelessness. And even a week later, our gospel narrative starts on Easter Sunday and ends on the next Sunday. A week later, these disciples are still locking the doors. They're still fearful. They're still anxious. They're still struggling to live into Easter resurrection hope and joy. They themselves have been on this emotional roller coaster of whether or not to live into this moment of thanksgiving or to give into the natural human emotions of doubt and despair and trepidation. And for me, that's what spoke to our current situation. I can imagine that in this past week or this past month or however long, I don't know, I've lost count of the time, that we've been in the middle of the social distancing, that it has been, for many of us, an emotional roller coaster. That there are moments when we feel hope and when we feel joy and comfort and consolation, and then there are moments when we feel the exact opposite of that. And we ourselves struggle to see Jesus in the midst of this. And we are not alone in that, because the disciples, bless their hearts, they get to see physically resurrected Jesus in front of them, but they have trouble actually seeing him. They mistake him over and over and over again for someone else. Mary Magdalene last week mistook him from the gardener. This week, they couldn't believe it unless they saw the symbols of the crucifixion in his hands and his feet. In Luke's account, in the road to Emmaus, which we'll hear next Sunday, the two disciples who are going on the road, they won't recognize Jesus even though he shows up next to him. They won't recognize him until he sits down and shares a meal with them and breaks bread together. And even next chapter in John's gospel, as our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, said, John likes to land the plane at the end of this chapter, and then he kind of takes off again for another chapter to end the whole gospel. But in the next post-resurrection appearance in John's gospel, they won't notice Jesus either, even while they're fishing on the Sea of Galilee and Jesus is cooking them fish right on the seashore. There's this common human assumption to incline ourselves to disbelief, to incline ourselves to doubt and despair. I know for me, as a person who sometimes struggles with anxiety, it is easier to sit in that space. It is easier to sit in those kind of emotions. And psychologists actually will remind us that we human beings are inclined to those emotions more often than not. It is difficult for us to sit in positive emotions. It is difficult for us to actually sit in thanksgiving. It is difficult for us to sit in hope. It is difficult for us to sit in joy. We have to practice it. We have to let it wash over us for a time. We have to hold on to those feelings in order for them to fully and deeply and intricately impact our lives and our souls. And so how do we become the people of the resurrection when we are on this emotional roller coaster right now? How do we live into that Easter hope and joy and glory when we are in the midst of this pandemic and this time of turmoil? Well, first I will say the disciples and us have more than one day to figure it out. There are 50 days of the Easter season. And I think we as the church have that tradition for a reason. I think it takes a season to live into Thanksgiving. It takes a season to live into hope. It takes a season to live into joy. It takes a daily practice to remind ourselves that the resurrection has happened in the past and is happening in the here and now and will happen again in the future. It takes 50 days to get to Pentecost, to get to the birth of the church and the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. And friends, I think we need those 50 days as a reminder. I think we need those 50 days as a practice. We only give ourselves 40 days for Lent, 40 days for penitence, 40 days for fasting, but maybe we need an extra 10 days to live into hope and joy. Perhaps we need an extra 10 days to practice Thanksgiving. And I also think what's important about all of these post-resurrection appearances that we will hear of Jesus is that they never happen in isolation. They are always happening in community. On Easter Sunday, we hear Peter and the beloved disciple running to the tomb together, even though Peter, being the older gentleman of the group, got outrun in the process. And even Mary Magdalene, it sounds like she's alone, but actually she's not. She says, "We do not know where they have taken him." There's the assumption that the other women named in our three other gospel accounts are also with her. And then in today's narrative from the Gospel of John, the disciples, again, are not alone. Even though, yes, they are living in fear and anxiety and doubt and despair and trepidation, they are together in that upper room. And even on the road to Emmaus, there are two disciples going together. And then again, when Jesus appears later in John's gospel on the Sea of Galilee and cooks them breakfast, again, the disciples are together fishing on the boat with one another. All these post-resurrection accounts, as unfathomable as they may be for those people as individuals, they are witnessed together in community. And so I think for us to become people of the resurrection, it's going to take a day-to-day process. It's going to be a constant spiritual discipline of looking for moments, small and large, moments of resurrection in our lives. It's going to be constantly asking ourselves, what are we thankful for in the midst of the suffering and the social distancing? But when we are feeling those emotions, when we are feeling grief and fear and doubt, The answer is not to separate ourselves further. The answer is not to isolate ourselves. The answer is actually not to go inward. The answer is to go outward and to share with our brothers and sisters and our friends in Christ. The answer is to reach out in community. The answer is to pick up the phone and call a fellow parishioner. The answer is to get on FaceTime or Zoom and Skype with your friends and family members. The answer is to write an email and check in on someone. The answer is to join Claire's meditation group on Wednesday nights. The answer is to continue to find community even during this time of trial. And friends, the answer is also to come to virtual church on Sunday mornings. Because Sunday in our Christian tradition is the day of the resurrection. We don't remind ourselves of the glory and the hope and the joy once a year. We remind ourselves every week that Jesus Christ has risen victorious over the grave. We remind ourselves every week that we are people of hope and people of joy, and there is so much to be grateful for. And so, my friends, I ask that we do not go about this journey, this discipleship alone. I ask that as people of the resurrection, that we reach out to one another. We reach out to one another so we can help us work through our doubts, so someone can comfort us in our grief, so someone can console us in our fear, and so someone can affirm and celebrate with us in all of our thanksgivings in this life. My friends, the resurrection has happened. Christ has risen. And it is okay to feel a little bit of an emotional roller coaster right now. But know that you are not alone in this, and that at the end of the day, we will keep the faith. Amen.
Amen.